T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Good morning, Lee.
Hey there, Tara.
Well, as you now know, Greenville's Chris Underwood has won Survivor.
Yes.
And the $1 million prize. And I read this, you know, and I really, really empathized with him because I know what it's like, what he's been through. He won $1 million, the $1 million prize in the CBS show Survivor. And he was voted sole survivor during the finale Wednesday night. After earning his way back into the game, he spent most of the season on something called, it was terrible, The Edge of Extinction.
Yeah.
The Edge of Extinction. So it's basically the way that works is that Survivor competitors now have a new choice of being voted out, either go home or go to an island called The Edge of Extinction for a chance to get back in the game. And I did a very similar thing. I, too, went to The Edge of Extinction.
Did you now?
Yes, I did radio in Myrtle Beach for two years.
Oh, okay, well.
It was barely civilized there. And but I did, and I came back. And it was terrible, and I don't like to talk about it.
Yeah.
But I know what he went through, being banished there as I was.
I'm more likely to want to be banished to maybe the Isle of Palms or something than
yeah. Please go there. Go yeah. anywhere. Don't go to Myrtle Beach. Just don't do it.
It's not that bad.
Oh, it is. Try living there.
Well, that's just it. I don't have to live there. I can visit.
See, there you go. Edge of Extinction. You don't have to live there. Anyway, congratulations to Chris Underwood.
Absolutely.
Because no one should have to go to the Edge of Extinction.
Actually, he's from Myrtle Beach.
I'll see, he's perfectly prepared then. So, it is barely civilized.
Living in Greenville now, working in Greenville, but he's from Myrtle Beach.
It's the sex offender capital of the Carolinas for a reason.
That has nothing to do with Mr. Underwood.
No. The two things are utterly unrelated. I got to make that clear. I don't want to take away from his victory there, but watch out. I wouldn't go out after dark. It's crazy there. Anyway, okay, so we're living in times. Maybe it's just me. I mean, I am amazed at what is not news these days. Okay, we are living in a country. This has never happened in American history. This is completely unparalleled. Okay, we didn't even see anything this crazy during Watergate. I mean, you realize what's just gone on the last 48 hours, Lee, if you put it all together? It'll drop your jaw. We just had, okay, we had the general counsel, that's the top lawyer at the FBI, okay, the former general counsel of the FBI under James Comey, James Baker, just accused James Comey, the head of the FBI, of attempting to blackmail the president. Okay, this sounds like a B-movie, you know, Netflix.
Hulu
series.
Yeah, Amazon or something.
Plot. Yeah. Where you're like, I was bored. I watched it because, I mean, that would never happen. I can't even identify with it. But whatever, I had to do something on Saturday. I mean, but this is it's so incomprehensible that it doesn't even make a good plot.
Yeah, beats taking the kids to swim practice,
I
guess.
Oh, yeah, I tell you what. Don't put toe in that pool. Yeah. You know what I mean? Not with 40% of adults. By the way, that has been the hot thing this morning.
I knew
on the text
it
line.
Would.
Line exploded. Everybody wants to weigh in on the P issue.
Yeah.
No, not the P, the PP dossier. No, not that. No, the 40% of adults confess to having peed in the pool.
No.
Just thought I would bring that in to celebrate the opening of pool season. I drop the kids off at the pool. I don't actually go in. Anyway, to the pool, I mean. But anyway, we have the FBI, former FBI general counsel James Baker, who is knee deep, by the way, in this FISA stuff. He's in trouble too. If the truth comes out here, he was knee deep in all of it. Okay. He is telling us that he believes that Comey attempted to blackmail the sitting president of the United States of America. Fox News, folks. Mm-hmm. It's on my Facebook page if you've got to see it. You really almost got to see it yourself. Okay? Compares him to J. Edgar Hoover, who was the longest serving head of the FBI.
For a reason.
Because he blackmailed
everybody. Yes.
I mean, this is historically documented. This is not a conspiracy theory. I mean, Hoover, that's what he did. He had files on everybody, blackmailed everybody. He compared him to Hoover. On the latest episode of Yahoo News' podcast, Skullduggery, he said he and others were so concerned about Comey briefing Trump on January 6, 2017 on Russia's interference in the election, as well as the controversial dossier, that analogies could be made to J. Edgar Hoover, the former FBI director who famously abused his power with to blackmail individuals. Quote, "We were quite worried about the Hoover analogies," he said. "We were determined not to have such a disaster happen on our watch." Quite worried that what? Let me read it for you. That former FBI director James Comey appeared to be blackmailing the president with the Steele dossier? And what I think what he means is, like, you know, you go after us for how we illegally spied, and we're going to launch this on you. It might be a bunch of lies, but who are they going to believe, you or me? I mean, for the general counsel, this is not some lawyer who worked at the FBI, right, who's got a conspiracy website now that he's not working at. This is the general counsel of the FBI. Meanwhile, the head of the CIA then turns on the head of the FBI, Brennan, and he's like, "Oh, well, I got some things wrong in that dossier application, the FISA application. You mean the one that the FBI was censored for committing perjury and possibly fraud, that one?" Yeah, that one, says Brennan. It was Comey's fault. Wasn't me. So he just ganged up on Comey. They're all turning on each other. But, I mean, historically, Lee, this is, we've never seen this.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
Okay, so the general counsel of the FBI is out there accusing the head of the FBI, when he worked there, of blackmail. And that's not the head story today? That's not the main story?
Of course not. Meanwhile, House Democrats are going to spend 12 hours reading the Mueller investigation report.
Because, you know, if they read it again, maybe. Right?
Yeah. Out loud, on the floor of House. That'll be on C-SPAN. Boy, that'll be a captivating podcast, won't it?
Yes. I want to
get about maybe two downloads.
I want to tune in for the part where they say no collusion.
Oh, I'm sure they will either stumble over that, edit that out, or it'll be redacted.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Because it's too dangerous. So, I mean, we got insanity. Then we got Devin Nunes on the television. He's like, "Yeah, we figured out what the insurance policy was. Yeah, yeah, they just they took out the FISA warrant on Carter Page four times because they just wanted to read Trump's emails. You know, they wanted to get inside the campaign so they could spy on the Trump administration. They wanted to spy on his administration, his transition, and his campaign. I just wanted to spy on him." Mm-hmm. "That's what the insurance policy was," he says. Wow. Okay. Nothing like this in history. Nothing like it. Ever.
I just get great satisfaction out of hearing now on Fox News, hearing these people say what I said 6-8 months ago.
Yes.
The Obama administration was doing political opposition research, spying, investigation, whatever you want to call it, on the opposition campaign. That's what it was. It was the Obama administration doing this on the Trump campaign.
Yep. You're right. And you always remind me of that because you can get so deep in the weeds you forget who was in charge.
Yes. And yet... the president whose name will never be mentioned with that is not facing any criticism, is
or
not
scrutiny.
Facing any scrutiny or anything whatsoever. Now, there are people around the edges who will make that accusation and say that out loud now, but that's exactly what went on. The Obama administration was using federal employees to investigate and to spy on the political opposition during a presidential campaign. That is exactly what went on.
In order to take out the political opposition.
Well, yeah. Why else would you do it?
With our spy apparatus that's supposed to protect us from terror, and they became terror.
And it's supposed to be apolitical.
Yeah. I mean, this is straight out of China or Russia. This is what they do there.
Or as Trump would say, China.
Right. Somewhere you don't want to live, let's put it that way.
Yes. In fact, a lot of people in China don't want to live there.
No. Texter writes... And they'll all come here, by the way, if Joe China gets elected.
Exactly.
All of them,
yes.
With their own coyote.
Yeah, on a coffin ship from Ireland, I'm
right,
sure.
But with a coyote this time.
Yeah.
Texter writes, "I got in trouble for peeing in a pool once. Probably," I love our listeners, "probably should have just let them put the water in first." Yeah, you know, that makes it real obvious.
Yeah.
Texter writes, "You mean they're saying they peed in the pool as adults?" Yep, as adults. 40% of adults admit peeing in the pool. Texter writes, "That means 90% have peed in the pool." Yeah, I know. And finally, Texter writes, "Hey, Tara. My wife is a water aerobics instructor and a swimming instructor at the YMCA. I tell her all the time public pools are little more than public toilets." Yeah, sir, but I bet her immune system is strong. I bet it's
probably
real strong.
So.
Yeah.
She could probably take a chemical attack and have no problems.
No problems.
All that chlorine and ammonia and everything else in there? Good grief.
Sure it is. Keep going.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Texter writes, "Hey Tara, lifeguard. Your little boy Johnny peed in the pool today, Mom. All little kids do that, lifeguard. From the diving board?" All right. Meanwhile, I was joking about this the other day. No. In our grievance culture, a culture which says if anybody has a grievance, the world will come to an end. If people die, that's not as big of a thing as if they are offended. A culture that says, yes, in fact, you can bring your non-housebroken, non-toilet-trained emotional support donkey on the plane. Because we can't have you freaking out if you're not emotionally supported. Now, this is this generation. If you don't like it, demand they change it. Doesn't matter what it costs them. So I was joking. I was joking earlier this week. When I demanded, producer Chris, I thought it would be interesting. You could use this weekend on your show. I demanded a new ending for Game of Thrones because I don't like the way things are headed right now. I mean, they're going all Mad Queen and stuff. You know what I mean?
You're not the only one, Tara.
Mad Queen. My butt. How many seasons have I watched when she was perfectly sane? You know what I'm saying? I'm not buying this. You don't go cuckoo all of a sudden. It happens over several seasons. See what I'm saying? So I said, we just demand a new, millions, hundreds of millions they've spent, right, Chris? And just demand a new ending. Demand it. Because you will be emotionally abused. No, if I can bring an emotional support donkey, if I have a right to do that on a plane and inconvenience everybody else there with me and force them to risk E. coli poisoning, then why can I not have a new ending for Game of Thrones, right? And lo and behold, did you see what they did? Game of Thrones fans are demanding HBO redo season 8 with competent writers or else. Why not? The petition goes on to say David Benioff and D.B. Weiss have proven themselves to be woefully incompetent writers when they have no source material to fall back on. The series deserves a final season that makes sense. Subvert my expectations and make it happen, HBO. This is the culture we live in. This is the culture we live in. I deserve more at somebody else's expense. Anyway, the petition, Chris, has now hit 200,000.
That's higher than when I heard about it last night. So yeah. Apparently a lot of people are getting behind this.
Yeah, I mean, there is outrage out there. And you know what is the funniest thing? That's to see the American people worked up. You know, we have this topic pulse that we use, right? So we could figure out what you're talking about on social media in the upstate. And then the theory is that we'll talk about that and then you'll like us, right? And we get a lot of ratings. That's what's supposed to happen. So, I mean, I can see what y'all are worked up about in the upstate. You know what you care about? The general counsel of the FBI just accused the leader of the FBI of an attempted coup involving blackmail? Oh, hell no. That wouldn't get ratings. No, it's the Game of Thrones ending. Okay. It's like half the thing you're talking about right now. All right. So anyway, although I will be watching very closely this weekend, I must confess. Anyway, 800-347-1063 text line 71307. Texter writes, "You know, if you can't fly without freaking out if you don't have your flying support donkey, you shouldn't fly." What? Crazy idea. No! It's their job to accommodate you.
I'm surprised nobody's come up with an emotional support pig that they want to take on the plane.
That's been done.
Because then pigs...
Google it. No, it's been done.
...would be flying.
Oh, pigs fly. Yeah, you're right. Texter writes, "Hey, Tara, is it animal cruelty if the plane crashes that had the emotional support donkey on board? That is worse than a person dying."
Only in New York.
Yeah, you're right. And only if it had fur. Texter writes, "I love Game of Thrones. I'm not exactly happy where this is going, but I'm not a Democrat, so I understand that I can't have everything my way." I love you. That was my point. These people aren't joking, Chris. They're serious.
No, I understand that. And what I'm thinking of is, I don't know if you've read the novels that the show is based on, but George R.R. Martin, who is the author of these novels, and I understand that he's run out of source material. That's kind of what the whole point of this argument is. But he is renowned for twists and turns that catch his readers by surprise and that are frequently unwelcome. So
yeah.
I wonder if this is kind of in that vein.
Well, I read the first two novels, and I have an issue with Martin because I think he's just a slacker. I mean, he wrote this great series, right? And it is the series is great, and he just leaves you hanging. And he promises another novel.
You are not the only person that thinks that.
He promised another novel. Yeah, go ahead. And then he didn't.
Some people think that he's more of a troll, that he's actually, that this is another way to tweak his readers is by just delaying the book, the next book, over and over and over again.
Yeah. And then, you know what he did? He wrote the book, the books are marvelous, and he wrote them, and then he promised another book for years, and then he didn't deliver it. And so now these two slackers, who's writing nobody likes, have to pick up the slack and write the end for him. And then he has the gall, Chris, Martin does, to go out and criticize the way they've wrote in the end to the thing he promised to write but never got around to it because he got too rich and fat. The whole thing is an outrage. If you're into Game of Thrones, you understand. Otherwise, you are completely lost here. yeah. No, I just think it's just a symptom of the society we live in that they would actually launch a petition on that these people are serious demanding another rewrite. Listen, Chris, you know what Hollywood will do here? There'll be like alternative Game of Thrones endings movies at the movie box office for the next 25 years, right?
I was thinking
reboot.
Yeah, reboot. That's popular in Hollywood these days.
Yeah, or there's so many threads you could go off on with Game of Thrones. You know what I mean? Well, like so many side stories.
And I understand that they're already considering like 3 spinoffs from Game of Thrones.
Oh, God, I can't even follow. I could barely follow the episodes now. So much goes on, you know? I'm forever asking my husband, can you rewind that? I couldn't catch everything. I mean, they killed 3 people in 4 frames. You know what I mean? Like, I can't even keep up with it. You got to be smart to watch Game of Thrones. You cannot be dumb. You have to have a certain IQ level. Texter writes, the Game of Thrones public outrage certainly explains those suffering from Trump derangement syndrome. Oh, nothing explains that. No, they're just crazy. They're just crazy. Texter writes, welder friend here. From now on, when I go somewhere, I think he's saying, I want to support Pig to go with me. That way, if the plane goes down and I'm on a deserted island, I will have delicious bacon. Well, that's some thinking right there. That's some planning.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, so you probably saw, Lee, what happened in Alabama. Their
yes.
abortion law to be signed by the governor.
Was signed.
Well, did she actually sign it? Okay.
Yes.
She actually signed it then.
Doesn't go into effect for 6 months, but it is now law.
Yeah, although she said it might never go into effect when she signed it.
Yeah.
In the interviews, I guess, around signing it. Anyway, interesting reaction from one of the most prominent pro-life advocates and Christian commentators on abortion. Pat Robertson, did you hear this?
Yeah.
He didn't like it. Not in support of this. Not because, well, I'll let him explain and then I'll tell you where this is going.
I think Alabama has gone too far. It's an extreme law and they want to challenge Roe versus Wade. This is not the case we want to bring to the Supreme Court because I think this one will lose.
And what he's talking about is 99-year sentences for doctors who perform an abortion. That's a longer sentence than for the rapist. No exception for incest and rape, only for the life of the mother. And it would ban virtually all abortions in the state. Now, it's not that if you listen to the full context of what he's saying, it's not that he disagrees politically with it or morally with it. He absolutely agrees. He just thinks that this is a really bad case to send to the Supreme Court and might actually do damage to the goal of limiting abortion to the largest extent possible.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree with him.
Yeah,
I have not been that excited about this, and I haven't said anything. And I'm going to get hate on the text line for people who don't understand what I'm saying or who miss what I'm saying. It's not that I disagree with the sentiment in the law. I wish
right.
we could wave a wand and make it so.
Yeah,
it's not that. It's that if you understand, well, there's two problems here. Number one, they're going to use that against us in 2020 to turn women out who are, you know, on the bubble.
Right.
And make it say they're going to tie that around our necks because it is so extreme. And it's so extreme because even lawmakers who supported it and are pro-life were apologizing, saying, hey, yeah, for legal reasons, we got to, you know, we got to have the exemptions. We can't, you know, we can't have exemptions for, you know, incest and rape and stuff like that. And that's just, I mean, when you look at it, only 52% of the people in Alabama support this law. And that's a very red, red state. And I read a great legal analysis of this. The way to go is that in the 1990s, there was a Planned Parenthood case called Casey. And what it said was, okay, the right to an abortion is not absolute. States can limit abortion once the fetus is viable. And then after that, most of the court battles, Lee, have been, okay, is the fetus viable?
Mm-hmm.
When is the fetus viable? So those are good cases, especially as we have more science now to prove viability. We can keep fetuses alive from earlier ages, and we have better ways of detecting and measuring life in the womb. And so that's why states are doing this, and they're going back to heartbeat bills and stuff like that. It makes a lot more sense to go that way because the idea that they're going to overturn Roe v. Wade, it's just not going to happen. I mean, if you watch the confirmation hearings for Gorsuch and Kavanaugh, that was very clear. If you want them to, they're not going to do it. And so the way to get at this is incrementally. All this thing is going to do is go down in flames at the Supreme Court and damage the progress that's been made, I think.
Yeah, that's entirely possible.
And I wish we could wave a wand, but, you know, unfortunately we can't. And the big mistake in Roe v. Wade, I think, it was the same one with the gay marriage ruling, is finding a right that was never expressed in the Constitution.
Well, that's...
There's no mention of gay marriage. There's no mention of... in the Constitution, there's no marriage of a right to abortion. It's not there.
Copious pieces of legislation that fit that. Have absolutely no...
Yeah, there's a ton of things.
...standing within the Constitution.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, you're absolutely right about that. Those are just two examples. There are many, many more. And so, you know, what were we to do when the Constitution was silent and did not give the federal government the power to regulate?
Yeah.
We send it to the states. And states get to regulate. Right. States get to do it. And that was the big mistake in Roe v. Wade. At a minimum, if they didn't find a right to life, which is in the Constitution... then they should have absolutely found the rights of the states to govern themselves with regard to abortion, but they didn't. That's the big error in the constitutional, you could drive a truck through it. And people have been trying to since the 1990s and with success. So I'm not excited about this bill. And it's nothing to be excited about because it's not going to take effect. I mean, the governor all but said that.
Well, and the pro-choice groups are already,
using it.
Yeah. They're already,
using it. Yep.
Taking legal action, period. Same thing in Missouri that we were just reporting, too, that they're doing the same thing, and the pro-choice groups are already taking it to court. So.
Yeah.
And this is the excuse that they have used in South Carolina is, well, why do we want to do something that's just going to cost us millions of dollars in legal fees? Of course, to me, that's a ridiculous argument when you're talking about human life.
Oh, yeah. It's absolutely worth it for the right case with the right law.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when you look at what they're doing in Alabama, honestly, to me, it looks more like political pandering than it does a serious case that you could really use to weaken Roe a little bit more and get, one more week of life for a child. You know what I mean? Like in terms of when they can be removed
right.
from the womb.
Yeah.
So I don't know. So we got all that going on. I've been waiting for this for a long time, and somebody's doing this. We've talked about this a lot all over the country, especially under Obama, but it's still going on. There are schools, public schools, teaching folks about Islam, and not historically, but having them write the conversion creed or say it aloud.
Yeah.
Can you imagine having to go to school and be forced to either write or recite or memorize
No.
the Our Father?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That'll never happen. And that's the focus of this lawsuit. This is fascinating that the Supreme Court case, SCOTUS will be asked to determine how far public schools can go in promoting Islam while they disparage Christianity.
Right. And not only discourage, but prohibit.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Stripped.
Absolutely prohibit it.
Right.
And it is just stunning to me that we can remove God from public schools or the Christian Judeo version beliefs of God, and yet we embrace and promote the version of the Islamic God.
Yeah, and that's exactly what's going on here, Lee. Kaylee Wood, who is a Christian 11th grader at La Planta High School in Maryland, was taught in 2015-2016 school year, most Muslims' faith is stronger than the average Christian. And then she was required to profess in writing the Islamic conversion creed, there is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. That's what it, when you convert, you say that.
Yeah, that's...
That's your conversion
right
there.
That's not acceptable.
No, it's not. I mean, that is an absolutely religious act. That's not instruction for learning history or something. Wood believed that it was a sin to profess that word by word or in writing, and she refused to do it.
Good for her.
And she wanted asked for an alternative assignment. They refused and said she had to do it with everybody else. She felt it was an anti-Christian assignment. She got a failing grade. So this case is going to the Supreme Court, but it will ask how far, in other words, for parity, if we're going to say conversion prayers for Islam, then by God, we ought to be saying the Our Father there. Well, and no choice. You fail if you don't say it. I mean, it's got to be equal.
Because of the First Amendment, you know, Congress shall make no law establishing a religion or the free exercise thereof. And unfortunately, since we have the federal government in charge of education in this country, and that's where our standards are, then there should be no forced education or forced indoctrination of any religion, period. Now, if you want to teach historically about Christianity, if you want to speak historically of Islam, of Judaism, of Hinduism, Buddhism, any of the other major world religions, that's fine from a historical standpoint and to put them in some type of historical and cultural and societal context. But to force the tenets of those religions upon students and to have them reciting things like that, that's just not constitutional. And it's just amazing to me that the liberal progressive secularist who are so bent on removing any vestiges of Christianity, the religion that was at the basis of our Declaration of Independence and Constitution, and replacing it with Islam. You cannot possibly be promoting one and, you know, eliminating the other. It should be neither. From an educational standpoint,
it's and I couldn't agree with you more. And I think one of the comments by the guy who will be arguing this case before the Supreme Court, and again, for those just tuning in, they're asking the Supreme Court to determine how far public schools can go in promoting Islam while disparaging Christianity.
Yeah, there should be zero.
Yeah, that's
period.
That should be the answer.
You know, if you can no longer pray in school, then, you know, there should not be an Islamic prayer or you reciting one either way. I mean, it's this. I don't even see where the issue is. I mean, this is something that ought to be absolutely the first day they mention the case. All right, this is done. We've already decided. No, you can't do that. Next case. Move on.
But because there's no case law like this, Islam is being taught in our schools. And I just thought it really nailed it. Richard Thompson, who's the legal counsel who's going to be arguing this before the Supreme Court, said, I'm not aware of any school which has forced a Muslim student to write the Lord's Prayer or John 3:16.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Well, that will never happen. I mean, oh my gosh, people would be fired, disgraced. It would be the end of the world. And so he's saying, all right, well, tell us.
Yeah.
Can you have a preferred Muslim state religion?
Right.
At the cost of Christianity? Or are we going to hold, Islam equal to Christianity in terms of religion in our schools? But you know what? The left is forcing us to actually have to answer this question. That's
yeah,
the crazy part.
Exactly.
After they convert you.
Yes.
For a grade.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
We'll be right back.
Matt the Terra Show. Genius text of the day on 106.3 WORD.
Yep, genius text of the day. Talking about this lawsuit on its way to the Supreme Court. Asking the Supreme Court to clarify. Okay, we have had a lot of rulings about, you can't teach Christianity in schools, obviously. You can't make kids pray or convert or baptize them at school. But schools are regularly converting kids to Islam, making them say the conversion prayer and teaching Islam in a way that is almost straight out of Sunday school for conversion. And since there's not a body of law that prohibits that, they're asking for a ruling on it. Texter writes, this is the genius text, call the Freedom From Religion Foundation and see if they'll help you challenge Muslim prayer in schools. Interesting. I looked this up because I hadn't thought about that. And so far, they're not a party to the lawsuit. They could file a brief if they would like in support or against, but they're nowhere to be found. Interesting. Glad you pointed that out. Texter writes, they need to remove kids from school to stop getting brainwashed false facts. Another texter writes, what happened to the separation of church and state? Well, that's separation of church and state. That's the whole point of the lawsuit. There's no separation of mosque and state. I mean, there's not a legal body of lawsuits or, laws settling it. I mean, we have it down. And, when it comes to Christianity, we've got it down to the detail of, okay, you can say a prayer. Kids can say a prayer, but the teachers can't lead it, but the teachers can do it, but not on school time. And we got all that. We don't have any of that for Islam. And they're trying to drive a dump truck through that loophole. So what they're saying is basically, this lawsuit says, can we conflate Islam with religion so that kids aren't forced to convert for a grade anymore? Yeah. Texter writes, when kids are forced to write or recite the Muslim Declaration of Faith at school, they're unwittingly converted to Islam and are apostates subject to death if they revert. That's one of the many problems. You shouldn't be converting to anything at school, either by stealth or otherwise. Texter writes, Tara, I love the direction of Game of Thrones. I hope Jon Snow takes over the dragon and burns Daenerys alive. Don't be surprised if that's how it all ends. At this point, anything is possible. Texter writes, if you travel with your emotional support elephant, are you required to fly on a jumbo jet? Har har. Texter writes, hey, when Dickens wrote Great Expectations, the people of the time demanded a new ending. That's why there are two endings for the book. This is not new. Okay. And an email on the emotional support donkey or pig or whatever it is. Ralph writes in an email to me at Tara@1063WORD.com. I have an emotional support gun. It does make me feel safer. That's how you feel, Ralph. It's all about how you feel. You got to be able to take it with you. Try starting a petition if they won't let you and see how that goes. See how that goes. All right. Beautiful day out there today. It's been pretty clear of rain this week, too. So get out there and enjoy it. Still nice and cool before all the heat hits. This is a global cooling May at the rate we're going here, right? All right. Vince is up next. We'll be back tomorrow. Same time, same place. You know the drill.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.